KFI News leads local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. I'm Terry Anser.
Next on The Californians.
There's a breathtaking spot in this great land of ours where the mountains descend to the sea in more wondrous beauty than words can express. And my loved one did wait there for me.
They don't know you.
And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to
Los Angeles.
Good morning, 6:04 a.m. KFI AM 640. Boy, this is stimulating talk. Wow, last time we spoke, ladies and gentlemen, let's just say things were so different. Yup, you had to hide your pipe. You know what I'm saying? Now you can smoke down the street. That's right, marijuana. No, I'm kidding, you can't. Proposition 64, though, that was a big one here in California. If you're listening from outside, you're like, what is she talking about? But here in California, we legalized marijuana for recreational use for adults 21 and over. Thank you very much. We've also decided that we weren't going to, we really don't want to see our porn stars wearing condoms, apparently. That's Prop 60. We have a lot to talk about. And, oh, did you hear about the presidential race? Yeah, exactly. No, of course you have. The protests don't stop. It's crazy out there, but it's you know what? It's just this country that needs to heal. So we're going to talk a little bit about politics, especially here locally. We're going to have somebody on in the 7 o'clock hour that will break down the propositions for us. One of the folks that has been working in the campaigns and I have to tell you, this country needs to come together, though. I will say this, regardless of where you stand on everything, we have a lot of work ahead of us. And this is why they call us the first world, because we can learn to agree to disagree. Remember, that's my mantra here. It's okay. And I do want to just send out and ask you to help me with a quick little prayer. My gosh, a 7.8 earthquake, as you may have heard, just happened over in New Zealand. There's a tsunami warning. And so I'm just praying for those families right now. It's 6 in the morning here on the West Coast. And of course, what is it like? It's like tomorrow there, I think, right now. Terry Anser is joining me this morning. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. They have warned people on the South Island in New Zealand to move to higher ground. However, no. I just checked the USGS website and there are no warnings, watches, or threats of a tsunami for the United States.
Okay, good. Yeah, because we always worry about our coast here, especially on the Pacific side of things. On the left coast, which, as you know, went very blue in this presidential election. You look at that map and it was like, whoa, what happened here? I just want to say, as we start the show, we're going to get into some good stories because we need some stories that are going to leave us with a very positive, uplifting mood. Okay. But there is a lot of fear and anxiety out there, especially with students, a lot of dreamers. And if you don't know that term, basically, these are students that were brought to the United States when they were young, had no say. I mean, so many kids were like 1, 2, but they were brought illegally here in terms of, entering the U.S. And so all they know, these kids, is the United States of America. This is their country. And a lot of kids, actually, until they had to apply to college, had no idea that they were undocumented. How weird must that be, right? You'd think at some point it would have come up. But for some families that I've actually interviewed in the past, students have said, I had no idea until I was going to take a study abroad program or something. And my parents were like, well, sorry, son. Let's talk about this for a second. May not be that easy. So there are a lot of, look, I'm taking my sweater off. This is what happens for live radio. And I just whacked my headphones off of my body. Okay, I'm back. And I can't hear myself, but I'll make it work in a second here. Oh, where's that commercial break when you need it? Okay, here we go. Anyway, I've got a friend actually who's a psychologist. And she was sharing with me this week that her firm has been hired by Los Angeles Unified School District because they've got a lot students who are dreamers and are concerned about their status. As you know, President Obama had signed that executive order to make sure these families would not be separated, right? And now the question is that going to happen under this new administration? And look, we all have to come together and understand this is the democratic process. This is now the president-elect. We got to stand behind him. We got to stand behind this administration. But we got to stand up, of course, for our values, our democratic values. And that's the thing that's what the focus should be. And but I will say I'm impressed that LAUSD, which has unfortunately failed our students in many respects, but this time it looks like they're being proactive. The president of the school board there, Steve Zimmer, and again, LAUSD, in case you don't know this, is the nation's second largest school district in the nation. 74%, by the way, of students are Latino. And they are offering counseling. They're asking for teachers and other leaders to continue listening to students and finding a way to ensure that they understand their civil rights and understand the civil rights engine of a democracy so that there's no panic. There's a lot of panic, but there's a little bit of pandemonium out there. I have to say, this is a very bizarre thing because, you know, I was born and raised here. And to me, the guy that you didn't want made it to office. That's fine. But it's interesting. There are a lot of people who are saying that they feel this is different. They feel this is different. They feel like this is a slippery slope in terms of where we're going because of potential trade deals, potential global climate change, the Paris Accord, for example, agreement that perhaps this administration may just want to get rid of first day in office. Will the wall be built? Will Obamacare, what will Trump care be? What's that going to look like? I was out yesterday, and a big shout out, by the way, to most amazing and loyal listeners, KFI listeners, and you guys are smart, savvy, awesome, that I ran into yesterday. I was working the morning show at KTLA. We have a food drive. We're trying to make sure that we resolve some of the hunger issues, especially for the Thanksgiving holiday around the corner for our families in Southern California. So we partnered with Feeding America. And we were out in Chino, and I met so many of you, incredible people. Thank you for coming up to say hello and say that you're tuning in on Sundays. Appreciate you. This is for you. I mean, we we're all in this together. But it was really wonderful to see how many people care and said, we're gonna stick together. We're gonna make this work. There is the call for Colexit. Have you heard about that? That's crazy. Get it? Brexit, Colexit. There's this collective movement. People say they want California to secede. We are the sixth largest economy in the world. And obviously we went blue. We were completely different in terms of what most states came through with. But it's also important to highlight, and we'll talk more about this. I do have a final closing thought, very Jerry Springer of me, that I will do before the calendar section in the next hour. But I will say this. Look, there's no mandate here. It's simply there was an election. 46% right now, the numbers are 46%. Let that sink in for just a second here, okay? 46% of eligible voters in this country did not vote. So this isn't exactly the will of the people. I mean, it is to in terms of the electoral college and the votes. And listen, I hear people telling me, well, but Clinton won the popular vote. She did, but it wasn't a landslide. It was a slim margin. So there's a lot of polarization, and I think there's also a lot of disinterest, and that's terrible. Because if you watch the elections in Afghanistan, when they've had their elections in Iraq as well, there's suicide bombers blowing themselves up as people are trying to get to the polls. I mean, we were complaining here about, the snafus and having to wait in line a few hours. So listen, I mean, this is an incredible privilege, and we can't waste it, but unfortunately, looking at the data, 46% of Americans just threw it in the trash. So don't complain. I don't want to hear it. All right, we come back. A little bit more of, the propositions. And also, our Los Angeles, our favorite weather guy. Well, I can't say that because I do love my Mark Kriske and Henry DiCarlo at KTLA. But Dallas Raines, I feel really bad. He's got a little drama there with the family. And I will explain when we come back. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Ms. Terry Anser, thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. A spike in the number of people trying to enter the...
We see more stimulating talk in your future. That future starts now. KFI, an iHeartRadio station.
We are gonna come together.
By AM 640, Sunday morning. It's going to be a hot one today. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. And yes, I heard something like Beverly Hills, 87 degrees today. Yeah, baby, it's called Southern California. How you like that, New York, huh? How do you like that? How do you like that, Minnesota? It's cold out there. No, I don't mean to rub it in. Sorry. Chicago. Terry Anser, where are you from originally?
Born in Delaware, raised in Altadena.
Okay. Well, Delaware's cold right now.
Yeah, but, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up, and we're going to be doing some holiday shopping, and it feels like we should be, you know, grabbing the surfboards and heading for the beach.
I know. You know, it's funny. I'm along the coast, and I have to tell you, it is weird. I usually, by this time of year, I do not need that little mini AC in the room, and now I'm like, it's so hot. Because so many of the places, you know, homes and apartments along the coast don't have AC built in because, you know, it's generally always a little cooler. But anyway, it's going to be a hot one, just like this election. You see what I did there? You see what I did there? It's crazy. I really wanted to come in, by the way. I was tempted. You got to go to my Instagram. I had a little fun yesterday. I dressed up as a grape. Oh, boy. So it's funny. On Twitter right now, Joe says, Elizabeth, good morning. Did you ferment into a glass, a fine glass of wine? No, but I certainly had one after yesterday. It was a long day, but it was fun. And again, we had an incredible time with people coming out to support our food drive for it's a partnership with KTLA. And, you know, we're just trying to help as many families as possible. You know, it's crazy when you think about hunger issues in Southern California. It's like one in seven families have hunger. They call it, you know, hunger issues, meaning they can't put food on the table. And that's just hard to believe when you think about California being the sixth largest economy, right, in the world. You would think that doesn't exist, but it does. So listen, I want to hear from you guys. Hit me up on Twitter at @E_Espinosa and Instagram, of course, at Elizabeth Espinosa, ESPINOSA. Remember, I'm an essay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's so much to talk about in terms of politics and local politics, but I'm going to start with this one because I think this is the one that most of you didn't really pay attention to, and I don't blame you. Proposition 60, that was actually the condom law for the porn industry. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I voted yes. I know some of you are like, you, how dare you tell us what to do? But I just thought, okay, I mean, you know, if they want them to wear, you know, something while they're performing, then they should. But it wasn't that simple. There was more to this proposition. But anyhow, 54% of our electorate here in California, the Golden State, said, no, doesn't really matter. No, let them do what they're going to do. So it failed. And, you know, would have, of course, it would have subjected hefty fines to the performers and to the producers if condoms were not to be used. And that's no longer the case. But that's an interesting one. The look on the face of so many voters when I asked him about this one, it was like, what? That's on the ballot? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, even asked my grandparents. I was like, is that awkward for you to like, you know, is that awkward for you to vote on that? And they were just like, well, we didn't know what to pick. So, you know, it was just really awkward.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute. It's like, oh, well, let's see. The last time I saw a porn movie, and I'm kidding. No, they didn't think that at all. You almost spit out your coffee, you poor thing. Sorry. Okay, Proposition 64. Now, this is very interesting. So we've legalized marijuana for recreational use for adults 21 and over. You can have so much in terms of possession on your person. But it doesn't mean you can walk down the street now and just smoke out. You know, you can't just dig your pipe and go down to the beach and stroll and, you know, smoke away. Not the case. Also, with Prop 64, it is so important that we really hit home this message. Employers have their own policy, ladies and gentlemen. So don't think that you can smoke out at home. And if you work somewhere where they have random drug testing and that day they test you, you're busted. You're busted because, again, the freedom to do something outside the workplace, drum roll, please, does not translate to freedom within the workplace. The employer has a right to say what type of productivity they want at work. They want to keep a safe workplace, you know, whatever it is they want. And they also, of course, have the right to say no one under the influence of any intoxicating drug or substance is allowed. So I have to tell you, I'm going to make a little prediction here. I think a lot of people might lose their job because they're going to think it's okay to, you know, smoke out at home, grow your plants or whatever it may be. And you also have to keep in mind, there's a lot of power with local cities. And I sat in on a hearing. It was a municipal hearing over in the city of Lawndale. That's where I'm from. And they were already looking at how to pass certain, you know, ordinances so that you can't just go crazy with this new law. And also, the state still has to come up with a plan to license it, to commercialize marijuana, cannabis. So right now, we're still operating under the medical marijuana infrastructure. So so Sacramento has a lot of work to do on this one. And again, it may bring in a lot of money, something like $1 billion per year, but it's not going to the general fund. It's only going to drug rehab programs. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. Of course, we weren't the only ones. Washington was amongst other states that passed marijuana for recreational use. But it'll be interesting. I was over at MedMen. That's what it's called. MedMen is a medical dispensary in West Hollywood the day after the election. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I voted no. And because I'm so allergic to smoke, if I have to smell one more thing of smoke, I'm out of here. But yeah, it was interesting being there just covering the story. I was like, God, it smells bad. I just think it smells like a skunk. Don't you guys think like the marijuana smell is similar to skunk smell?
Well, actually, I worry about the impact on traffic safety because you're going to have people who are stoned driving down the road. And we already have enough problems with drunk drivers, but at least the smell will give them away.
Exactly. No, it does. I mean, I was in a restaurant. Somebody walked in. I'm like, whoa. Keep it outside, but you know, it's on your person and you can't get rid of it, especially women with long hair. It stays in your hair, your clothes. You can't just go, oh, I'm in it like a drink. You know, let me just put it on the side. You can smell it, people. You can smell it. But I will say, I don't know about people racing down the freeway, but I do think they're going to be a lot slower and we're going to see the profits, the revenue of Cheetos go up significantly. All right, when we come back, I have an incredible story. Oh, I love this story. There was a local coach and a local young man with autism that is inspiring us all. And this time where this country needs to heal, these are the stories that we need to focus on. This is Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Terry Anser in the newsroom with much more.
A car has slammed into a bus on the 71.
But if God got us, then we gon' be all right.
We are going to be all right. We are the U.S. of A. All right. KFI AM 640 Sunday Morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. It's going to be a hot day today. It's going to be beautiful. The sun does come out. And some of you have asked me, how am I holding up? I'm good. It's all right. And I'm better now. You know why? Because I'm an incredible teen. I'm staring at right now in my studio. Thank you for coming here to Burbank. This is so exciting. I don't know if you guys saw the story, but one of my colleagues at KTLA did a story. And it was so cool because I happened to be covering the election on Tuesday at a Van Nuys polling station. And I run into the coach. I mean, I didn't know he was the coach, but we had a quick exchange. I was like, hey, you know, he's like, I watch. Because I had the microphone. We're about to go live. And so I'm always asking people, like, who wants to talk to us, et cetera, et cetera. And so that led to a conversation without me knowing that KTLA was going to do a story with this coach because he is a special man with a special student making such a great difference. Basically, Coach David Roundtree, welcome and thank you for coming in studio as well with Alec Messing, a football star. Say hello.
Hello, how are you?
There you go. And you are so special. I understand you have autism.
Yeah.
And I understand that you kicked the winning field goal to lead San Fernando High School to the league championship. Is that right? Because I know nothing about football.
No, it is. It's true.
I did well.
Yep.
Coach, tell me about how this all started, your relationship with Alec and how you met.
Well, thank you for having us on this morning. It's, just a privilege to be in here.
Thank you.
I met Alec through his father a couple years ago, and I was a former professional field goal kicker myself. And so I was drafted in the Regional Football League and bounced around and had a look with the Redskins, but didn't make their final roster, unfortunately, and bounced around from the Arena League a little bit. So having a strong kicking background, I met his father, who let me know that his son was also a field goal kicker, and we started working together. And Alec, being a special needs player really brought an interesting perspective with things. And I had worked with a lot of special needs athletes in the past through swimming and in the aquatic world. And I had done a few outside of that, just academically. So working with Alec was something that I was passionate about with football, really was nice. So we began working together 2 years ago, and we would go out and kick 2 to 3 times a week, and he ended up becoming a member of the San Fernando football team. And as you said, he ended up winning the, I guess, the regular season championship for the school. They ended up 10-0 and beat Sylmar, and he went into kick with 4 seconds to go.
Wow, 4 seconds ago. Okay, let's take a replay. I want to hear this. So, Alec, here's what's great. You are how old, Alec?
I'm 16 years old.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I also want to get into what does autism mean to you, right? But before we get to that, I just want to ask you, you go to a different school. It's not like you go to school every day with the kids that you play with.
Oh, no.
At San Fernando, right? Explain that. You go to Bridgeport?
Yeah. And then, like, after that, once when the day's over, like, after school early, my mom just always picks me up for practice and games. And then I just show up there just doing what I need to do over there for a game, or even if it's, like, for practice.
That's awesome. And yeah. When did you learn, how did the love of football come into your life?
Like, how, like, I started, like, loving football?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mostly, like, watching it and just like how, like, the sport is. And
and you're
just all
kicker.
Of a sudden, like, I just felt like football is a pretty cool sport. And
that's cool. Yeah. Does your dad play? Did he play football with you growing up?
Only for 1 year. Yeah. Pop Warner.
Dad is in the studio as well. Mike.
How are you doing?
Mike Messing. Thank you so much for joining us. And your daughter's here as well, little sister Alexis.
Hi.
How proud are you of your son, Mike?
Well, I couldn't be more proud. He's just an absolutely amazing kid. In regards to his playing football, he started when he was 12 with the North Valley Golden Bears, 30 years after I had played for them. So the same team.
That's awesome.
And, of course, well, when I was a kid, the only position I'd played, and that was the only year I played, was extra point kicker. And I just taught him what I knew. And we literally, after every single practice, would go ahead and kick. You know, after all the kids are done, that would be something that we did after every practice. And he did that for the entire season. Then he played on another team, the Bengals, which was an amazing experience. And he played for them and became their full-time kicker in regards to, like, field goals and extra points, and did very well.
I want to ask you, with those 4 seconds to go at the game, oh my gosh, the score was tied. I'm not a sportscaster, but let me act like I am. And when Alec goes up and he kicks the game-winning field goal in that last week's game, what was going through Mike, Dad's mind? Was your heartbeat just racing?
I think everybody's heartbeat was racing. It was intense. I was holding the camera, which was filming it, and the crowd was standing up. Everyone. There was no one sitting. Everyone was just going, "Oh my God, this is it. This is either we're going to win or we're going to lose or we're going to go into overtime." And as it's just happening, it just became very silent. And he kicked it. It went up, went over the uprights, and it was a madhouse. Everyone was just out of their seats, screaming, running. It was like complete chaos, and it was awesome.
Alexis, sister Alexis, did you lose it? Did you just go, "Oh my gosh"?
I actually didn't attend the game.
Oh, that's it. You're fired. You're out of here. You're Alec. Come on, get her out.
I was giving her the play-by-play as everything was happening, though.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, no, hold on. You were at home doing homework, and you were doing your chores. You were cleaning your room, right, Alexis? I'm trying to help you here.
I guess. No.
I guess. You know, no. There's something so beautiful about being young, right? You tell the truth. And something happens after 21. You become a serial liar in the world.
That's funny.
Somebody else would have totally been like, "Oh, yeah, I was saving kittens. I couldn't be there."
That's funny. Well, as an athlete growing up, I think all kids, they put themselves in that game-winning situation. If you're a baseball player, you imagine you're in the bottom of the ninth of the Game 7 of the World Series and bases loaded. You know, as a basketball player, it's 2 seconds. You want that clutch shot. As a kicker, I know growing up, I would personally envision going in for the game-winning field goal. And in practice, Alec and I really get specific with what we do. We really work on that. And almost every day when we go out to kick, we would do at the end of practice, we would do the 10-second drill. We're on the sidelines where we have 10 seconds to run out on the field and kick the game winner. So we practice that situation.
Oh.
We really work on that. And in practice, we put a lot of pressure on Alec to relax in that moment, to come out. And he'll come out to kick and we'll have all kinds of stuff. We'll have footballs flying right in front of his field of vision and lifting big pads up and tossing him in front, trying to do anything we can to distract him. So hopefully if that situation ever came up, which it did, he's done it a million times.
You got a good coach, Alec. Yep. What do you think of this guy?
He's amazing, and he really wants me to help me be a good field goal kicker.
Yeah.
So I can keep moving up and stuff like that. So
that's so sweet. Yeah. So, Dad, when you were told that your son was on the autism spectrum, how did that change your life in thinking, oh, my God, will my son be able to do what other typical children do?
That's the ultimate question right there. Mm-hmm. When we had learned that he had autism, it was a shock. Gosh, I think probably the thing that came into my mind more than anything was that I didn't know if he was going to actually be able to play sports as a kid like I had. And so for him to be or have gotten to the point where he is now, it is beyond any expectation that I ever had would be possible. And I am so grateful that he's gotten to this point, and I'm excited for the possibility for it to go further.
Yeah, because you didn't make the varsity team last year, is that right?
Oh no, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, okay. I made the varsity team for last year and this year.
You better get that story right, Elizabeth.
Well, he made the varsity team, but really didn't see any action at all.
I see. That's what I was trying to say.
So he was on the team and he practiced every day, but I think maybe two kicks all season, I believe.
Yeah, he got in one game. It was the fourth game of the season, and it was the first game that they won. So,
What can you say? Right. Oh, that's great.
And then the entire rest of the season, he just, kind of watched from the sidelines. But this year, he went out and he outright won the starting position, hands down. It was fantastic. And
look at you.
He's been the starting kicker ever since. And he ended up the regular season, I think, second in all of Los Angeles in points scored as a kicker?
Number one in his league by, like, I don't know, 10 or some odd points.
Bravo, Alec. Wow. And who do you follow? Who's like your, is it Peyton Manning, Tom Brady? Don't ask me more. I don't think I know any more names. Terrible. Who do you look up to in the football world other than Coach Roundtree?
Are you talking about like professional?
Yeah, like NFL or even college. I don't know. Who do you like?
Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. Yeah. Wait a second. Big question. This is going to determine your fate here for the next segment, because I have some more great questions for you coming up, if you don't mind. But who are you going for next week, UCLA or USC?
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
Just so you know, Elizabeth went to UCLA.
Okay, so you gave it away, Coach. You got a good coach. See,
I'm looking out for him, right?
He's looking out for his guy. Alec, you are adorable. When we come back, I want to talk to you.
UCLA.
See?
There you go.
I would say UCLA.
Good answer, sir.
Alec is very smart, I tell you. All right, when we come back, our football star in-house here, Alec Messing, is going to talk to us a little bit more with his family and Coach Roundtree, who does an incredible job with our special needs community. Thank you for the service. You know, I actually, Alec, have a brother with special needs. So me, it's very important what you do. Yep. You inspire me. You inspire my brother. So thank you. Yep. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640 in the newsroom with Terry Anser.
Okay, fight on.
That's it. You're out of here, too.
Love the Bruins, too. A man has been arrested for allegedly videotaping women in a...
Hey, F. I was like, what? Drowned by the music over here. KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. It's a gorgeous day out, and I am so happy. I've got Alec Messing. He is a 16-year-old boy with autism from the San Fernando High School football team. Also goes to school at the Help Group. Is that right, Bridgeport?
Yep.
And his father, Michael, is here, his little sister, Alexis, and his incredible coach, David Roundtree, who works with him and has led him to the winning... Okay, help me with this, Coach. It was the winning field kick...
Field goal, correct, for the regular season championship.
That's right.
So with 4 seconds to go, Alec went in there and nailed the game winner to clinch the title. And after the game, they hoisted him up and let him hold the big trophy up. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's so cool. Alec, that's so fantastic. What did you feel when they picked you up?
Yeah, they didn't drop me, but I felt really excited. I felt really good because I won the football game for my team, because obviously... Whenever we whenever I play a sport and whenever we play a game, obviously I would want to win every game. I would not like to lose. So it's really good, and it feels good to win a football game. So,
well, you're awesome. You did a great job. And I want to ask you, Coach, Alec brings something special to the table. I mean, no pun intended here, right? What is it about his skills, his autism, that makes him a better player than some of the NFL guys you worked with?
Well, I think that one thing Alec has to his advantage is he has an ability to really focus on what he's doing, but not hold things that happened in the past in his mindset. So as a kicker, for me, I was my own worst enemy. If I went in and I missed a kick, that sat in the back of my brain. I hope I don't do that again. Or what did I do wrong? And I analyze and I overanalyze. With Alec, if he misses a kick in practice, he moves to the next one and starts fresh again. And he does that with everything he does in life, it seems like. So he's not going to restrict his own brain enough to where it gets in his way. And when we go out and kick, if he misses one kick, the next one he's going to put it through. And it's just a matter of keeping him focused. So before the game-winning field goal, we're on the sidelines, we're working on his kicks, and just trying to get him to focus and keep everything the same routine that we always do. And when he went out there, I had no doubt that he was going to make the kick. It was just a matter of everything else coming through, from the snap to the hold to the team blocking to having all the other elements come through. I knew Alec would do his job, and he did. He went out there, and it was as routine as any other kick we do in practice. And he didn't seem nervous. He was, you know, the other teammates are coming by, Alec, you know, this could come down to a game-winning kick, and we're trying to keep him away, you know, say, look, just let us do our thing. Let us focus. And Alec ran out there and did it.
Alec, you little star, you. San Fernando football, right?
Yeah, San Fernando High School football, yep.
I want to ask you about autism.
Yeah.
What does autism mean to you?
It's a disability to the person, and basically what autism does to you, like there's autism does specific things to you that people just don't realize that what it does to you in your body and stuff like that.
So what is it? How do you feel? I always tell people, when you meet someone with special needs, and you know, I just showed you a picture of my brother.
Yeah.
I have a brother, for those of you who aren't aware.
Yeah.
Who is 32. He's nonverbal. So you're very lucky. My brother can't speak. He suffered a brain injury at birth, and he can walk, but, you know, he can't write, can't read. And so you're so lucky. And I tell people, when you meet someone with special needs, you've met one person. Everybody has unique abilities and challenges. And that's true for people without so-called special needs as well.
Yep.
But for you, what is it like to be someone on the autism spectrum? How do you feel? What do you feel are things that you're working on?
Well, I feel like, since I'm autistic, I feel like that I'm doing really well with all the stuff that I want to do, like the athletic stuff and just doing all the other stuff, because when I'm autistic, there's really nothing, no bad stuff going on with me. So, I'm just doing very good with all my athletic stuff, keeping up with sports and doing other stuff like that. So,
I can tell you have a heart of gold.
Yeah.
So adorable. What do you want to be when you grow up?
Maybe go at a professional NFL.
Nice.
Maybe a professional football player.
And what do you think? Will you keep Coach Roundtree around?
Yeah.
I hope so.
He's like, yeah, let me think about it.
Well, the good thing about Alec is that he gives so much hope to so many people out there.
Yeah.
I work with many special needs kids, and I've received so many responses back after Alec's story hit. From parents saying, this is amazing because it gives us hope. It gives us hope that our kid can go out there and succeed and do things. And that's what's so important, because Alec does give so much hope to everybody out there that because he does have a disability, it doesn't limit what his potential is. And that's the message that we want to get out, that you shouldn't judge somebody because of something, for anything at all.
Mm.
And someone like Alec proves that anything really is possible. And that's the most amazing thing.
Preach it, Coach Roundtree. I love that. That is very true. Alexis, I have to ask you, because you and I are in the same boat to a different degree. We're special needs siblings. I mean, we have a sibling with special needs. I always argue that I'm the one with more challenges than my brother. So how do you feel, and how has it impacted your life? And you know what? People are asking me to Periscope, by the way, on social media. So Alec, ready? Put your big smile. I'm going to Periscope right now. We're going live. Okay, so I'm going to try to hold this and keep the conversation going. So, Alexis.
Well, Like, I don't know. I don't see him as special needs. I treat him like any other brother. So we fight, we like make up, we wrestle to the ground. Like, and I don't know. I don't treat him like he has anything. I don't see him as having any special needs.
That's beautiful. That is very beautiful. But people still have to understand that there are certain limitations, and therefore we defend our siblings, don't we?
Yes, definitely.
Have you ever had a situation?
Well, I don't know. Not really, but just like...
I know of one.
Really?
Yeah. I would like to first commend Alexis for her patience and her desire to help her brother. When we go out to kick, especially when we're in the off season, she's there every single practice.
Oh.
She helps us shag football. She listens. She now has taken in so much knowledge that she knows how to coach Alec herself. And she has defended him at some of her own football practices when other coaches tell Alec, you need to do it like this. And she says, no, that is not correct. That's not the way to do it, because this is why. You don't kick the ball at this certain spot. You kick it here. The ball needs to be at this angle. And she has his back, you know, 100%. It's so amazing. When she was 14 years old, standing up to, you know, full-on high school football players and coaches and telling them the way it should be.
Mike, you must be so proud of your children.
I am extremely proud. They're great kids.
And I want, Alec, you to tell everyone how do we just begin to become a little bit like you and believe in ourselves more and strip away all the limitations that a lot of times we believe we have, and they're self-imposed.
Well, I think how you should start being like me is that you should start like focusing more on kicking and like start like practicing more on kicking, like practice kicking every once in a while, like every day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And and then the more you like practice a lot every day with the kicking thing, then obviously you're going to get good at kicking, and then basically you're good to go with all the kicking and stuff.
You are so precious on so many levels. Alec Messing, you are such a star. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate you, and thank you for coming in so early. San Fernando football player. He is, I'm calling you MVP. I'm just going to give it to you. Okay. You are my most valuable player, my friend.
Thank you.
And Coach David Roundtree, thank you so much. You're fantastic.
Thank you for having us. It's been a wonderful experience.
And Alexis, keep being an incredible little sister. I know the plight, and it's a good one.
I will.
And Dad, congratulations, and please say my best regards to your wife.
I really appreciate it, and thank you so much for having us.
All right. Love you all. We'll be back with much more Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.
Ferris Bueller, you're my hero.
Everything that matters to you. KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
KFI News leads local news on the hour, on the half, and when it breaks. I'm Terry Anson.
Designated driver, take the keys to my truck. Hit the shawl cause I'm faded. Honey's in the streets, say money, yo, we made it. It feels so good in my hood.
Tonight, where I'm from,
then you would know.
7:04 a.m. It is Sunday. It is Sunday, November 13th. Wow, where's the time go? This is KFI AM 640 Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, and it's going to be a beautiful day. You know, if you're going to get a chance to get out there and get in the water and do a little swimming in the ocean, today may just be that day. It is gorgeous, and it's going to be very, very warm along the coast, which isn't always the case, so that's very cool. Oh my gosh, we were just taking some pictures with Alec Messing, the San Fernando High School football player, because he goes to a special needs school, the help group. He is incredible, this kid with autism. Incredible. He's so sweet. We just took some pictures. We're going to post it on my Instagram pretty soon here, at Elizabeth Espinosa, and Twitter, of course, at @E_Espinosa. We need these uplifting stories right now as the country needs to heal. And we have another incredible, inspirational human being that is going to join us this morning. And I'm very excited about this. She is a pancreatic cancer survivor. Let me tell you, that is huge, because that is one of the most deadly forms of cancer. Lupe Romero is joining us this morning as we talk about World Pancreatic Cancer Day. And she is a tough girl. She skydives. She's got no problem with that. The sky is definitely the limit for this woman. Lupe, good morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
And welcome. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, of course. Listen, it's our honor. And thank you for sharing your uplifting, inspirational story with us this morning, because I understand that you received the worst news, of course, of your life with this diagnosis of pancreatic cancer just a few years ago, right?
Yes, that was in 2012, almost 5 years ago.
And for those of you who aren't too familiar with pancreatic cancer, it is a disease that has the highest mortality rate of all cancers, with about 71% of patients dying within the first year of diagnosis. So when you heard the words pancreatic cancer, what was the first thing you thought in terms of how do you create a call to action for yourself?
Well, to tell you the truth, Elizabeth, my faith has always been strong. So when I found out that I had pancreatic cancer, I have never felt sorry for myself or asked why, but the first thing I asked is, what do you want me to do with this? But I do feel bad for my family, who expressed that they felt, my husband and my boys felt that the whole building just caved in on them. So it was devastating news, but, I stayed strong and my faith is strong.
Well, you know, that is, to me, that's exactly what I hold on to when I feel like everything is falling apart. Tell me about your skydiving experience.
Well, when I was in 2012, in February 2012, I was given 3 to 6 months to live. So 9 months later, I decided to go skydiving. And I went skydiving for the first time. It was an awesome, thrilling experience. And then I've gone 4 times. And so this coming Thursday, I will be going skydiving for the 5th time. And it's amazing. And I think I have brought survivors with me. And I have brought other people who have been first-time skydivers. And to tell you the truth, I think that that's the most exciting thing for me, is to bring other people with me and share their first-time experience with them, because it's an amazing experience to be up there 12,000 feet up in the air and then just to, you know, just to let go. It's an amazing experience.
Let's talk about that, letting go. How, if you could put it into words, why this is an important activity that, I don't want to say gives you a second chance, but almost makes you feel invincible, right?
Yes. Well, I apply my experiences to my life. I have run 11 marathons, so I apply my taking my life. When you start a marathon, you can't go 26 miles. You can't think about the 26 miles, so you have to bring yourself back and think about 1 mile at a time, then one step at a time. I apply the same thing with my skydiving. I am not an expert. In pancreatic cancer, so I just rely on the experts, on the organizations, on the doctors, on all of their expertise. And then what I do is, I just, like with my skydiving, I don't know how to put a parachute together. I don't know how to fly a plane, but I have to have trust. So I trust the pilot to get us up into the air. I trust the instructor to get me up there safely and to bring me down safely. And what I do is, I do my part. I do whatever it is that I have to do to keep myself peaceful, to focus on the things that only I can control. And then I enjoy the scenery. I enjoy the ride. And it's the most awesome experience to not have that full responsibility on me, but to be able to just enjoy the ride. And that's how I apply that to my life.
And Lupa, you are really, you are an incredibly strong woman of faith. And I want to say thank you. I don't know why, but I just want to say thank you for believing in your purpose here, because you've had some serious challenges. I mean, in light of the cancer, I know that, is my understanding is there is a recurrence of the tumor. Is that right?
Yes, there's a recurrence. It was in May 2014, and it was a recurrence, and my husband had been sick of a different illness, so I was diagnosed with a recurrence in May 2014, and my husband died 2 months later.
Oh,
so I continue my journey with my best friend of 38 years.
Ugh. And your best friend?
He was my best friend, my everything. And I was his everything, too. We took really good care of each other.
Mm. And I know that you are now, you're so thankful because you say that you found so much love and support at an incredible, with the incredible medical dream team, which is at UCLA, right?
Oh, yes. You know, I am so grateful and blessed to have found Aggie Hirschberg and the Hirschberg Foundation. And then I'm especially thankful and grateful to Dr. Hines and his dream team because they have saved my life. You know, it's just being a patient at the UCLA Aggie Hirschberg Center for Pancreatic Cancer Disease has given me, like, I mean, it's just like a second chance, a new lease on life. I said my faith is strong, but it's just like I just don't take life for granted. Mm. I just inhale life, the good and the bad, and on a daily basis, I am just grateful for, you know, this journey has taken me to places I never imagined that I would go, and I have met the most amazing people. So on a daily basis, throughout the day, I'm constantly giving thanks.
I want all of our listeners who are incredible to help us out here. There's a donation page, right, set up on the Hirschberg Foundation, a website in your honor to help raise awareness and to help find a cure. And unfortunately, the NIH, which is the National Institute of Health, these grants aren't so easily accessible. And I know that there's so many great scientists at UCLA that are trying to do their work and find a cure. But, you know, we need money. It takes funds. So please visit the page. And what would be the page?
The page is support.pancreatic.org/go-to/skydive. That's my page. But if you need more information on this amazing organization, you can log on to the website and visit www.pancreatic.org. And it's an amazing organization. And they have saved my life.
Thank you, Lupe. No, you're not kidding about that. And the fact is, current statistics do show that this is 93% of pancreatic cancer patients pass away within 5 years of diagnosis. So we need to find a cure. UCLA Aggie Hirschberg Center for Pancreatic Cancer Diseases. For more information as well, you can go to our website. It's KFIAM640.com. We will post that page there. Lupe Romero, thank you so much. You just have given me courage to do the skydiving stuff. I've never done it. I'm scared. Maybe I'll have to go out with you sometime.
Yeah, well, come out and join us. And I'm going
to
continue to skydive, so I'm going to pick you up on that. And
I'm serious.
I'm come. Yeah.
Oh my God, I get so nervous. I'm
excited to have you,
Lupe. You're awesome. Thank you. God bless you, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640. Terry Anser.
Magnitude 7.8 earthquake has.
Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Oh, it's time to get a little political. Everybody's eyebrows go up like, oh, that again. No, but listen, it's important to understand that local politics is a lot more important at times than the presidential election. So we thought we'd bring in none other than former mayor of Downey. Very nice man, president for the California Republican Party. That's got to be a tough job, right? This is a blue state. Mario Guerra. And then on top of it, you know, he's a Latino. I'm kidding. Mario, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Elizabeth. I apologize for my voice a little bit. I've been out there cheering for our Bruins last night.
That's right. I heard we won. We defeated Oregon, right?
We sure did. By the way, I want to correct you. I'm not president of the California Republican I am the treasurer for the California Republican Party.
The treasurer. See, there's a difference, producer Brent. He put that up on the page for me. That's okay. We wanted to give you a promotion. That's how we operate here at the Sunday morning show. That's fantastic. Okay. I'm a little jealous you went to the game yesterday. I was not there, but I wanted to kind of, you know, just break it down what has happened here in California. We thank you. You were actually with us on PBS. We had you on. In fact, you're going to be on television tonight at 5 o'clock. If people tune in to see Studio SoCal, you can watch online as well. It's a public affairs show. And it was you. And you are the moderate Republican from California who wasn't a diehard Trump supporter, but of course you're a Republican first and foremost. And then we had, of course, the Arden Trump surrogate. And then we had a Democratic strategist who worked on Hillary's campaign. So let's just talk about the big upset in terms of California. So, I mean, we definitely are our positions on so many things are so different from the rest of the nation. But the fact is Orange County, which is known to be so Republican, went blue for the first time since the Depression, right?
It did. It did once, but like only 39,000 votes on this. But they had all the other congressional seats, and most of the people that they wanted elected still went Republican. You know, the whole state election was really interesting. We had 17 propositions. But by the way, there's 1,000 races in California. The voter guide alone was 224 pages, and you know, there were central-moderate propositions, and seven of them had over 60% election.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So the Californians decided one way or the other what they really wanted. And, hey, easier to get marijuana, harder to get guns, higher taxes you won't be able to afford either. So and here in California, as of Wednesday, you couldn't get a plastic bag for free. So it goes on and goes on. California is a little bit of an island when it comes to the center.
But what do you think it's going to mean now under this administration? How will California do we've got Governor Brown, such a Democratic state, and now you have a unified Republican government. I mean, your party has taken over the Senate, the House, and now you have the president.
You know what's interesting? We also have 33 governorships in the country. We got 69 out of 99 state houses, obviously the White House, the Senate, and Congress. And in 2 years, there's 25 seats, democratically held U.S. Senate seats that are held that we can target. So the demise of the Republican Party was greatly exaggerated. Now, here in California, you know, it's amazing to us because we still have some of the highest taxes in the land. We have the highest car tax, the highest sales tax, the highest business tax, the highest unsecured property tax, and yet we're in the bottom 10th of education, and it's democratically controlled for the last 25 years. So something has to change here. But the winners in this election here were pop money, big money. I think you saw the kickoff for the governorship in 2018 between Lieutenant Governor Newsom and Tom Steyer. You saw those ads.
Oh, and also, wait, don't forget, Los Angeles, former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
Absolutely. But those two guys, Lieutenant Governor Newsom and Tom Steyer, they kicked off their campaign very subtly.
Yeah.
Okay? Tom Steyer did it by all those ads that he did.
Oh, I know.
So he got some name recognition. And Lieutenant Governor Newsom had two propositions. You had he had marijuana and he had ammunition. So, but good things happened, though. The start of transparency. We've had problems in our state when it comes to ethics. Proposition 54 passed, and you now have to put things in writing. The Democrats in California have had problems with transgressions on there. They've had four convicted felonies, felon senators. They got one senator right now, Tony Mendoza, that got fined by the Fair Political Practices Commission just last Friday, $93,000. So they continue to having ethical problems on there, and we need to watch them. But Prop 54 was a good thing to help out in that area.
Well, let me ask you this. We're up against the clock, and I feel like you're in a cave somewhere because this connection's a little bit sketchy. So sorry about that on your ears, folks. But I wanted to just ask you, at this point, what does the Republican Party have to do in California to find some ground? Because the truth of the matter is, yes, you know, anything east of here has definitely gone a different direction. But California just became, it's almost as if we buckled down and are more Democratic now, because as we mentioned, I know you're saying it's only 30,000 votes, but that is significant that Orange County voted for a Democratic president.
Well, I think a lot of people that are moving out of the state, we love this state. This is the greatest state in the country, even with our silly laws and our silly taxes. that we have here. So we need to continue to work across the aisle. I think that you also have a lot more moderate Democrats that have been elected than business types. And some of them were taken out. There was a few races that was dem on dem that were actually taken out. So I think we continue to work across the aisle. I think we continue to have common sense legislators. I think we continue to reach for consensus. And listen, 60% of things we can agree on. Let's keep working together to make better for our state.
Focus on what we can, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
I'm with you.
Both sides, the hard right and the hard left, I think they need to take a look at themselves and say, what's better for our state? So, but yeah, we've voted up some crazy things.
You know what? You know what, Mario? It's true. We did. I will say that it was interesting to see some of the protests out there. And there's one sign that I thought was actually very clever. And it said, let's not build a wall. Let's build a mirror so we can look at ourselves.
Yeah.
And there it is. I mean, this is LA, right? I mean, we all, you know, we got to look good. So Mario Guerra, thank you so much. Treasurer for the California Republican Party. A little tired from being at the UCLA game, but that's right. Our Bruins have done well.
As always. Thank you. It was great seeing you this week. Go Bruins.
There you go. I love it. All right. We come back. Let's go to the zoo. Huh? You know, after this selection, it was a zoo out there. So let's go to the real zoo. So, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa here on KFI AM 640. Terry Anzer with the news.
Hey, Elizabeth. President-elect Donald Trump's campaign.
Every minute, every hour, I miss you. I miss you. I miss you more. Every stumble.
KFI AM 640, Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. So, you know, we have our calendar section. We'll go down the list of things to do. But I really wanted to delve a little bit more into the LA Zoo because they have an incredible, another big zoo-lebration happening. They're celebrating the zoo's 50th anniversary. And it's a reindeer romp holiday celebration at the LA Zoo. Now, that sounds pretty fantastic. Emily Marin, the marketing manager with the LA Zoo, is here to explain the reindeer romp. I can go places with that, I'm just saying.
Yeah, the holidays start first at the LA Zoo. On November 18th is when we pull out all the stops. So we have reindeer romp, which are live reindeer in our reindeer village.
Nice.
This year, we have a reindeer family, which includes two reindeer babies.
Aww.
Yeah. And we're going to enlist the public's help in naming the babies.
Oh,
which
really?
Will be really fun. Details to come soon. And these babies are so adorable. They've got that kind of awkward Bambi fawn-ness.
A little clunkiness.
Yeah. And they have velvet antlers.
Oh, no way.
you couldn't.
Did you
art directed
wrestle them
better
away from Santa? Like, how did that go? You guys had to beat up Santa
Claus?
Santa
has plenty of reindeer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's well, okay. And then babies can't fly yet, right?
That's true. See, right? They're in training.
So our reindeer are ensconced in what we call Reindeer Village, where there are super cute holiday photo ops for that ultimate holiday card picture of the kids. And then on weekends, we have really great holiday-focused activities, antler crafts for the kids. We have an ice sculptor. We have a singing group called the Beverly Bells, a retro singing group. We have a holiday-themed musical puppet show. And then we have gifts for the animals. We have... we give our orangutans, gorillas, chimpanzees, tigers, even our black bear packages that they open filled with their favorite treats.
Oh, that's really cute. So you get to watch all that. Oh, that's neat. So it's really like a 7-week event, right, that's taking place?
It really is. It's starting earlier than ever this year, a week and a half, I believe, and we're extending it through January 8th.
So November 18th through January 8th and yeah. This zoo-libration of the zoo's 50th anniversary. I think what's so great is that it's Southern California. So come on. It's going to be wonderful weather.
Perfect
weather. It might be
a
little chilly, but you know, chilly is 60 degrees for us.
Angelinos love nothing more than putting on their sweaters and mittens and hats,
or scarves.
It just has to dip below 68, maybe, and then we're full winter wonderland.
Oh, yeah, I'm wearing a scarf right now because it's not 75 degrees, and I'm in studio, and I'm like, I'm cold. But no, I love it. And there is a, what's the deal? There's an exclusive holiday happy hour?
Yeah, so we're celebrating the holidays day and night at the zoo. So our nighttime offering is LA Zoo Lights, which is full of animal-themed, amazing light displays, 3D projections, animations, lots of holiday cheer. And this year for LA Zoo Lights, we had a holiday happy hour last year, which is for guests 21 and over. It includes drinks and hors d'oeuvres. And this year we're offering two of these nights. The one on December 8th is, get ready, I know you have one.
Uh-oh.
It's ugly sweater night.
No. Yes. No such thing. I'm a fashionista. All of my stuff is haute couture. Yeah, whatever. I have so many. Take your pick. You want to borrow one?
So it's a celebration of holiday kitsch. And this happy hour is really fantastic because people who attend, they get express entry to the event. And they get the beer and wine and hors d'oeuvres and a specialty cocktail in a dedicated area. And on the 15th, we have a 60s cocktail party theme, which will transport guests back to 1966 when the zoo opened at our current location. So kind of tying in that 50th anniversary thing and this Mad Men vibe.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's great. So you're basically telling me that the zoo is kind of like a matchmaking party as well. There's going to be some matchmaking happening there.
Well, you know, Zoo Lights has always attracted a really large swath of people, not just families. We have big groups. We have college kids. It's a big date night scene.
See?
It's very romantic, like walking among these twinkling lights, snuggled up against your boo.
Your bae.
Your bae.
You're like, honey, look
Are
at
those synonymous, bae and boo?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. But I tell you, you're with your boo, and how cute is that when... Maybe it's a first date.
Right.
That's pretty.
We've had marriage proposals.
That's pretty, provocative.
Yeah.
That's pretty ballsy to be like, I'm going to take her on a first date to the Zoo Lights because it's cold or it's chilly.
Yeah.
And, I'm scared of giraffes. Old. I'll hold you. I have my right big buff arm to save you.
Well, here's something. The only animals that are on view during Zoo Lights, because, you know, most of the animals are asleep, right? So the only animals that are on view are the reindeer and our animals in the reptile house, in the lair.
Oh.
So like, ooh, honey, oh, you're scared of that snake or spider.
Yes, exactly.
Let me protect you.
And then it takes her over to the reindeer section. You must be afraid of that reindeer. Like, I know it's a baby reindeer. That's just a really bad move.
They do have quite impressive antlers. I mean, those things can get sharp at the end.
They can. Sure. It could be dangerous.
Sure.
You gotta find a way to justify your action.
There is always a reindeer keeper there.
Oh, nice.
To monitor. And then on the weekends at Reindeer Romp, there are reindeer keeper talks.
Oh my God, look at you guys.
Yeah, it's always about the animals.
Well, you always have such great, I mean, you have ice carvings, there's going to be puppet shows, you've got visits with Santa Claus too, right?
Yeah, Santa. Wow, photos with Santa in his, it's like an ice throne, a throne carved of ice, but not cold.
It's not cold.
I'm just going to clue you in, just you, Elizabeth.
Okay, good.
It's fake ice.
Oh no, stop.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
It can't be real. Well, we have a drought, so I can see that being the
But
case.
The ice carver works with the real thing.
I love it. Well, that sounds fantastic. So get out there with the family, maybe a date. It does sound really romantic, actually. I want to go out there and check it out. Emily Marin, always such a pleasure. Last time you and I were roaring, right?
We were.
So what would be what's a reindeer? What does a reindeer do? Do they make noise?
That is such a good question.
No,
okay, wait.
No. No.
Maybe like that.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. Anyway, We've clearly lost our minds now. But Emily Marin, a marketing manager and a voiceover actress, thank you, from the LA Zoo. And yours truly. We'll be back with much more in your breaking news, your calendar section, you name it. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. Ooh, ooh, into the newsroom. KFI AM 640.
Fire crews are working on a fire.
Baby, pull me closer in the backseat of your Rover that I know you can't afford. Bite that tattoo on your shoulder. Pull the sheets right off the corner of the mattress that you stole from your roommate back in Boulder. We ain't ever.
KFI AM 640. It is 7:48 a.m. here on the Pacific West Coast. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa. What a week we've had. We have a new president-elect. We will have a new administration soon, and we can... Well, marijuana is legal for recreational use in California. And what else? Just look at him. There are some people here with their arms up in the air, waving them like they just don't care. And then porn stars, well, they're not obliged anymore to wear condoms. Yep, that's the world we live in. So, we got to go to the calendar section. You know, we need a little love. Oh, no, wait a second. What am I doing? Shout outs, my friends. We got to do the shout outs. I love you guys. You guys are so fantastic. Even during the week, I hear from you. So thank you. Keep your thoughts, your ideas, your comments coming at @E_Espinosa on my Twitter. I just posted, because I've been a little busy, but I just posted the picture with Alec, who's an incredible teen, 16-year-old at San Fernando High School. So he doesn't go to school there because he has autism. He goes to the Help Group. That's a school for people with, you know, disabilities. And but because he's so athletic, they managed to get him on the athletic team, so the football team with San Fernando High School. How cool is that, right? So he actually kicked the ball. I'm terrible at football, but he basically kicked the football, and it was the winning kick for the team to go to the championship. So how awesome is that? And I think what I really took away, from all of this was the fact that we can't focus on our mistakes. We can't focus on the past. If we're going to go forward in life, we got to keep our eyes in front of us and not on, you know, the rearview mirror, because you just can't go forward. And that's, I think, what Alec teaches us and taught us this morning with his story, which was so fantastic. So let's see here. I'm going to go to Twitter. Joe says, God bless that woman. Lupe Romero, she's a pancreatic cancer survivor. We spoke to at 7 o'clock this morning. You got to go to the podcast if you missed it. What an incredible woman. Joe says, that's the attitude a person can have when they put their trust in God, no matter how bad their issue is. Absolutely. And that is so true. We have to put our faith in whatever it is that you believe in, right? But for me, it is that higher power. Andy Gomez, good morning. She says, Elizabeth, you got to try skydiving. It's such a thrill, and the adrenaline rush. Oh, boy. Sending prayers for Guadalupe, which is the woman we spoke to, who is going for her fifth skydive this Thursday. How amazing is she? I mean, she's still battling pancreatic cancer. So no excuses. I don't want to hear from you that, well, I had a cold last week. No, this is fantastic. And Coach David Roundtree, of course, tweeting us here. He is Alec Messing's football coach, who's his personal coach. How fantastic. And he works with a lot of athletes with special needs. Thank you for doing the work that you do. So, so huge. Fernandez Luckett on Twitter says, thank you for the good, heartfelt story. Well, thank you. What days are you on Channel 5? It varies, but I'll be there tomorrow on the morning show. And Mr. Gus says, voting, the most effective protest. It's very true. And that's exactly what we have to do. And someone just asked me, because I did tease a little earlier about Dallas Raines, you know, the beloved Channel 7 weatherman. Okay, so I hate to get into people's personal business, and I sometimes wonder if it's, why is it even news, really? But since we did talk about it, we did mention it, I should say, and it is out there. I guess Dallas Raines, his wife was just sentenced to 3 years probation and drug rehab for allegedly beating and trying to strangle their daughter, who is an adult. She's in her 20s, I believe. They're driving home from some country club, and the daughter's 25. There she is. She's 25. Mom is 58. So it just sounds like it's a personal problem there. It's very sad, unfortunately. But I will say this is so funny to me, because when I did read the story initially months ago, I thought, Boy, have times changed. You remember growing up? Parents would beat you, and there was no, let me go to the courts. Let me file a lawsuit against you, mom and dad. Uh-uh. They just beat you, and you just called it a day, and you moved on. You got over it. That was your mom. That's your dad. I mean, I'm not, please, don't think I'm encouraging beating your kids. I don't believe in that. Funny, my father doesn't believe in spanking. Never spanked me. My mom, yeah, she got the sandal out. It was on. But you know, I knew there was love. It was a loving spank. It was loving physical contact. You know what I'm saying? But it is so silly how I hear parents, or children, I should say, even adult children in this case, suing their parents. I don't know. Shouldn't that be something that at some point you go, okay, I resent you, mom. This is terrible. How dare you try to strangle me? It was pretty traumatic. But don't take it so public. I mean, especially when you know that your father is in public life. But anyway, that's nor here nor there. But you know what is? The calendar section. Let's have some fun. Oh my gosh. You know what? We are in this together. There is a In This Together festival, and it's featuring two speakers, Daniel Johnson and Kimya Dawson. It's happening today at the Avalon here in Hollywood from 4 o'clock to 11:30 p.m. They have these different workshops. It's basically almost free, I think. Oh, no, here goes. Oh, no, there is a fee. You do have to pay for it, but it's a mental illness workshop. It's very cool. One of them is called Mental Illness Happy Hour. The other is just kind of, you know, it's like there's a day pass. And it's a one-of-a-kind event, really, that features comedians, podcasters, musicians. And they're known for their mental health advocacy and their authenticity, right? Their vulnerability. And they are there to celebrate all of you, and I think it's all of us, especially after this election, who struggle with mental illness and adversity. So that is an incredible, I think this is going to be great. So 4:30 p.m. is when the action starts. That sounds really, really fantastic. Also, let me find my my list here. I have you here. Snow Day LA, that's happening this Thursday at 4:30. Well, actually, it's from Thursday through Saturday, I should say. Peaceful drifting snow fills the night sky. Aw, the holidays are that close, right? Yeah. Snow Day includes over 10,000 square feet of snow, tubing across 9 acres of winter wonderland. It's a blizzard. LA turns into a blizzard. Yep. We can't even get rain, but somehow we get a blizzard. that's why we're so special here. It's called Hollywood. And we will post the information for Snow Day LA at Stadium Way. Tickets are $12 to $45. There's a self-defense workshop, too. I love this, and I really want to get you ladies. Oh, my God, especially in light of that. Did you hear that teen out of Orange County that was put in an Uber, and I guess she was too drunk, and the family found the Uber driver assaulting her? Terrible story. So this is why I want you ladies to sign up for the Self-Defense Sunday workshop today from 2 to 3:30. It is in Long Beach, and we will, of course, post all the information for you. Let's see here. It's Z Ultimate Long Beach is the leader in women's self-defense. They're putting it together. We will post the information so you can check it out at KFIAM640.com. So important. My gosh, that story was something else. So we're at the end. As we approach the end of this show, I want to just share my final thoughts with you because I know it's been difficult. There are protests happening all the time. In fact, last night I was driving through downtown LA to get home. And I'm like, please don't get on the freeway because I need to get home. Let's take a deep breath. Let us meditate together. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. Our constitutional democracy demands our participation. It does. And the most effective tool is our vote. We have freedom of speech, but we don't have the freedom to vandalize. Nor do we have the freedom to bully others because of their immigration status, because of their choice of religion, sexual orientation. The messages get lost. Let's unite. This is a time for us to unite, for us to ensure that our rule of law under President-elect Trump and his administration, like him or not, enshrines the rule of law that we are all of us, you, me, him, her, everybody, that we are equal in rights and dignity. Bottom line is that this administration is going to have to continue to protect all of us, our freedom of worship and expression. And to the ladies out there, you little girls, because I saw so many of you crying as I was covering the election on Tuesday, understand that you are valuable and You are an equal partner, equal player, and we will see a woman president soon. Remember to tell your little girl, your little daughter, that the most important thing a girl wears is her confidence. Thank you. The Jesus Christ Show is next. Sunday morning with Elizabeth Espinosa, KFI AM 640.
I'm going to give them a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he give us one too.
When it matters to you, it matters on KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.